Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only, the human turret, the world champ, one of the best ARs to ever do it. Give it up for Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. We got the world champ himself, some of the best analysis in the game. Give it up for Christopher Duarte, Parasite. We got the multi-world champion, a multi-champion, a legend, an icon to the Call of Duty space, Patrick Price Aches. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer of The Flank, Ben J. Nassim Slayer. Pat! You made it, bro.
I'm here.
Pat, what happened today, bro? What happened? You got to explain to everybody what's going on.
I roll up to the airport, right? I'm like an hour 10 early. Mm-hmm. I'm looking around. There's not a single Air Canada agent at the ticket counter.
Okay, and that's
so
crazy.
So I walk over to the American Airlines, which is like right next door.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yo, have you seen anybody? And they're like, they were here earlier. And so I was chalked right then and there. Mm-hmm. Then she was like, you should go ask the info booth to go on the intercom and like call an agent to the ticket counter.
Right.
Did that. No one came. Then I tried to go through security with my, I have a bag. I have to check it.
Right.
And security was like, yeah, that's not going to fit in the machine. Because right. I didn't really have any liquids I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll go back. Still no agent there.
That's insane. That is insane.
And then I went on support, like called them. And originally it was like, I called the support line. Originally, it was going to be like smooth sailing, like, all right, yeah, we'll get you rebooked, whatever. Put me on hold after they check out the situation. Come back. Yeah, unfortunately, we can't rebook you for free. It's going to be like a $700 charge to change it, whatever. And they were, I'm like, why? And they're like, well, you weren't there in time. And I'm like, the fuck?
You've been here for an hour.
When did they say baggage cutoff was?
10:25. And I got there like 10:15. 10,
so you were good.
10, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There wasn't anyone there. But no one ever came, which was the weird thing, because even if someone misses the baggage drop-off, you would expect an agent to be there to rebook, because on the call, the lady was like, oh, yeah, just go to the person at the counter. They'll rebook you. And I'm like, there's no one there. It was a nightmare. It took like an hour. All this while, no agent came.
That's crazy. That's insane.
And then they finally, you know, I got to a supervisor and I explained the situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm not paying $700 to rebook.
The fact that they were trying to charge you is insane.
After the first, they originally were like, oh, yeah, we'll rebook you, whatever, like, no problem. Sorry about this. And they come back after.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I can't. Anyway, got that dealt with. Then I got rebooked, but my flight was at 5 p.m. So
you got here. You made it, Pat.
Yeah, I'm here.
We're happy that you're here, man. Welcome. It's nice to have you here, of course. And we got the rest of the panel here as well. Ben, how you doing today, bro? You've been fucking ripping drinks back. You feeling all right?
I mean, I blame Sam for that because it was Sam's first suggestion. This.
Yeah, he says, he throws you under the bus,
Sam. Yeah,
you
were the one that was like, because we were, it was like 4 p.m., right? And I was going to assume everybody was like, I'm going to get drinks, right? I was going to get Celsius, get some water, some Coca-Colas. And Sam's like, I want a Moscow Mule. So I blame Sam
for the drinking.
I didn't
invite you to the festivity, bro.
If you're getting a drink, I don't want you to be the one getting alcohol, so I'll get alcohol too, and then
peer pressure.
It's okay, Ben J. We know
what
you
are
like
we fucking teenagers.
What is this guy 40? Throwing
anyway,
the bus.
To answer your question, fuck? I've been here all day. We served coffee and cod at 10 a.m. We had a great time. I had Tactical Rab on.
Yeah.
I had Attach's mom on, which is great. Always good to talk to her. We had financial advisor Ben on.
Hell yeah.
So good coffee and cod squad this morning. So I was happy we got off to a good start.
What are you drinking over there, Ben?
Just some water.
I don't know if that's water.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, water. Yeah.
Just trying to stay hydrated.
Sipping straight vodka.
We also got Christopher Duarte, DJ Duarte, the builder. What's up, Chris? How you feeling, bro?
I'm good. I went to the venue today. Checked in with my Challenger buddies, watched a couple of the games there, and then eventually came back here for the rest of the matches. But yeah, I mean, the event's pretty much the same. Pretty standard stuff, but Toronto always throws a good event.
It's a dope venue. It's a pretty cool venue, right?
Yeah, exactly. They got fan stuff there, booths.
How's the pit, the Challengers pit? Is it loud? Smelly?
Yeah, same as always. Pretty short day for them. But, yeah, I'm just excited to see the rest of the matches and then obviously how the Challenger team progresses because I got a bunch of buddies down there.
Hell yeah. Sounds good. And, Sam, you doing all right, Sam? I know the last series was a little tough.
I'm good, bro.
You're good, Sam?
Nothing to talk about.
Sam, can you turn your mic a little bit towards your mouth, brother? Thank you.
Is there anything else you need from me, Ben?
No, that's good.
Is there anything else? Is that it?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Sam's out. Alrighty. Well,
guys, we had 5 matches today. We're going to get right into it. Today was a long day, guys. It is very late here in Toronto. It's a long, long day of COD. So as you can tell, some people are a little bit grumpy, a.k.a. Benjay. He's getting old now, guys. It's getting to that time of the night. You know what I mean? Let's swap it over and go to the first series of the day.
That needs his warm milk, bro.
We got the Miami Heretics going up against the Vegas Legion. This one goes all the way down to a map number 5. Miami Heretics were able to win the series 3-2. We'll scroll down and take a look at the box score here. Jesus fucking Madon.
Saints down like for real.
It is interesting that Miami was the team to win this series, and they're all negative except for one guy.
Though.
A soft Neslo here. MVP of the series, Real. No shock there. Real has been absolutely phenomenal for these Miami guys. Just he's been the new pickup, and he's been the superstar for sure. Sam, we'll start with you on that end. What did you think about the series today?
Miami kind of just took care of business in the S&Ds. It's been a weakness of Vegas's seasons up to this point. I think they look decent in the respawns. I think Johnny was like still a good pickup for them, even with a poor showing today. But this is big for champs, man. There's like a lot of these games today. We had 5 of them, and every single one of them had huge champs implications. So Vegas getting last. Miami obviously having a good showing today, but we'll get to. It was just good for them. Their search looked great, and Vegas falls flat in another top 12.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Listen, we talked about this last event, bro. S&D is how these teams on the bottom 8 advance over each other and get to like top 6, top 8. And for Miami today, the search is on. And for Vegas, we've complained about S&D since the last event. And beyond that, and they looked terrible today in S&D. It was a super trolley 6-star S&D. Miami did blow map 1, but then grind out the rest of the series. I think it was a great performance from everybody on the Miami Heretics, including Real, who, if you want to go to the overview tab, I just want to shout out again, 105 and 101 is an insane amount of interaction.
Wait, yeah, does that make you nervous?
Make me nervous for what?
Me and you are 1v1ing on the Breaking Point Fantasy, and I have Real.
Damn.
Okay.
Yeah, you had nasty.
Damn, I didn't know you guys were doing it out right now.
The way it works is you need to pick people that make it deep in the tournament.
And I did. I got Scrappy, Pred, Real.
Real took out nasty.
And Gwyn.
Who do you
have? I have Simpa, BZ, Kenny, who's going to probably make the finals.
And Nasty's out of the tournament.
And Nasty's out of the tournament now.
Uh-oh.
And also have Scrap as my captain, and he's setting like kill records in
I'm feeling good. I got the Tiny Terrors, bro. Like,
yeah, but they're competing against each other. You got to think about that for kills. All my teammates are on different.
Pat, I know you were kind of going through it today. I don't know if you were able to catch like some of this stuff, but does it surprise you that Vegas fell to Miami tonight?
I mean, absolutely, it surprises me. Miami was 1-18 on land coming into this series, so I'm more so surprised at just Vegas going out sad. I mean, obviously they were struggling, but I still expected them to come into this event and play solid. And getting upset by Miami, I think, is something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, no, I definitely Miami, they came out to play. I mean, we know going into the tournament that Miami just couldn't win maps on land, but they were able to get the job here done today. Chris, what did you think about the Miami-Vegas series?
Yeah, Miami choked the sub-base, so they could have won this series in a more convincing fashion, just looking at the results now. But, I mean, yeah, Vegas has been struggling in Search and Destroy. I thought Johnny would be that piece to help them out, considering his very good search. He played really well in that 6-star, but they ultimately fell. And that invasion, like, Miami played that flawlessly. Real had an absolutely insane 1v2 clutch on top of that, putting the best stats up for his team. But somebody I want to show the love to today, at least. It might not reflect in this scoreboard, but Metals has stepped up a lot this tournament. He's pretty much another reason as to why, like, this team is even, like, making a deep run, because at least online, he was putting up a streak, just like Envoy to a degree, but in overall series of like 0.6s, 0.7s. He had a 0.89 here, but overall he contributed. He had the most damage on his roster. And then in series later in the day, he played pretty damn good for his team. So Miami able to step it up here, finally got some land wins on the board, and you know they're making a run.
Yeah, it's good to see Meadows confident, to be honest, because he was going through a little slump. He started the year really good. And went through a little bit of a slump, and now you see him really turning things around. And he's bouncing off of Real really well. They're both very aggressive, so I'm sure it's annoying to play against.
One more thing on the Vegas front. I mean, yeah, they got a new fourth, but they haven't really had a lot of practice with Johnny. And S&D and Control are the two game modes that are hardest to iron out when you make roster changes, because you got to get that chemistry back. So unlucky Vegas made this change too late, because they had to make two within a stage. So, yeah, their lack of practice and other things.
I got
very
ask,
apparent here.
Who the hell is the one guy not voting Real for MVP?
I was just thinking the same shit, actually.
Like,
I was
that pisses
the same
me
thing.
Off in like the NBA too, when they do their votings and you see like there's one person who votes for someone who
I was actually
should
the same
not.
Shit.
Some random fan, because I think it's like a fan vote. That's how it works.
Yeah, it must have been somebody. Yeah, some
that's you out there.
Falling.
Whoever that Falling. Is. Falling. Who the fuck? And then on the other side with Vegas, I mean, they come to the event. They struggle. I mean, obviously, they picked up Johnny, who dropped the .88 in the series. To be fair, it was his first series on the big stage. These were all elimination games, by the way. So if you lose today, you're eliminated from the tournament. So Vegas was short-lived here. They play one series. They lose. And they are quickly sent home. What do you guys think happened to Vegas today?
Bro, this team confuses the fuck out of me. Like, I feel like that core three is genuinely so good. Like, attached to Yoniro is, like, actually insane. I think that core three is disgusting, and they just cannot seem to put it together.
Granted, they just choke.
The roster, they do. They just choke the fuck out of it. And, the roster's new, whatever, and I like the way they've been playing compared to the ASIM team. But, bro, like, this team has so many, like, bright points, and every time they show up to an event, they just choke it.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. They're the second or third worst SND team in the league. Like, they were bad at searching the stage.
Which makes no sense, because I think Nero and Attach are both disgusting SND players.
They make bad individual and team decisions mid-round. Yeah. Ego chows, not chowing together, not doing the right shit as a team. Like, they just make bad individual decisions, and they get punished on a lot of these maps. And
this team perplexes me.
It's how you end up dead last in this tournament. And I think for Vegas now, we talked about, I think they're split this upcoming stage. I'll look at it right now. It's actually, like, really hard, if I remember correctly. It is really tricky. Toronto, Optic, New York, Seattle, LAG, Thieves, and Rocker. So
that's a hard ass split.
They're going to lose four of those first three matches. Vegas in real fight now to qualify for champs. They had 15 points maybe.
Didn't Vegas just have a hard split?
They had a super easy
like when ASIM joined the team, they were playing who? New York FaZe,
Optic, FaZe, and New York. Because
they had all their
really
easy
stage two.
They had all their easy splits prior.
Yeah. Like their stage two.
Okay, so that's where they should have definitely been running it up then.
Yeah, which they did.
They had to play three top four teams, and they got to play everybody else on the bubble.
Stage one, they had like an easy stage. They were just like their team was just ass, and they were figuring it out because they still had farmed.
They were like 5
and yeah, two they two. Had Purge running the wrong roles, and then stage two they farmed, and this stage, you know, they got farmed again.
This team needs to figure it out on land. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, it seems like just they lose their heads in very high intense moments is when they lose their heads the most. At least that's what it feels like.
I don't see that getting better. I think this team. We complained it in the offseason. This team. This trio, the original squad, obviously Gio and Johnny have come in. They feel like they would lack the leadership. They lack decision-making as a squad because of that lack of leadership. And they've done nothing to really address that, right? With Purge, it seemed like conceptually maybe there's a little bit of an edge on it, but Purge couldn't get kills. Now with Johnny and the team, Johnny's not that type of leader type. You could tell in the comps today. In the clips, a lot of that fell to Dylan, but it's still not.
I actually talked to Purge in the pick. I was just like wondering. I'm like, what like do you think was the reason why like you feel like you couldn't perform? Because I thought he was good in challengers. Came in and he was just playing terribly at times. He basically told me that he struggled with playing his own game because he was just so worried about like everybody else. And
that's
like
how it always goes.
Yeah, he was just so worried about
when you're a vocal point of a team. Like that's what happened with ASIM too, because ASIM came to me and asked like, what the fuck am I doing wrong for this team? And it's like when you're someone that the brunt of the responsibility for making sure that your team is doing the right shit, when you're that player, making sure you're not getting shit on is like the hardest thing to do.
Indefinitely selfless. Like
I was
on the
fucking
map.
Terrible at the beginning of Vanguard because that's when I was teaching myself how to do that shit. Because that was the first time I had to like actually manage a team and like make things or make sure like people were on top of shit as opposed to just spawning in and shooting my gun.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was horrible at the beginning of Vanguard because it was an acquired skill. I had to learn how to do it. So like when you see people getting shit on when the brunt of the IGL, which I hate that word in COD, but whenever you're the vocal point of a team and you're trying to not get shit on like that.
But that's the thing. On lower end teams, like that IGL role is kind of like going to be there no matter what, just because the reason these teams are not as good is because they lack the decision making. Sometimes it's not the talent that holds them back. They just lack decision making. And so somebody usually steps up in that role. When you look at the top four teams, it's like, there's not really a person like that on like most rosters.
But I don't get it why they're picking up someone that's not good at that and they're trying to do that, right? Like ASIM did it, Purge did it. Like at that point, either pick up the person that is good at doing that or fucking cut that role out of that team and someone else.
Yeah, that's kind of what they did here. Johnny's not that person. So they cut that role out completely and they're trying to just figure it out. I mean, they lost, but they didn't look terrible. They looked terrible in the second search, but the first search was very winnable. They just
lost at 6-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had a couple clutches as well. And, exactly. I mean, some of these rounds were like Ben said, pretty trolly. Anybody else got anything to say? Any roster changes in the future for Vegas? You think they're going to stick with this team?
I think they'll keep the team. I think they'll keep the team,
too. Technically, they're 1-1 with Johnny. Yeah. Like, it's
yeah,
tough.
They're about to be 1-4.
I know, but they're playing the top four teams. You could say
Jesus
that for everybody.
On their fucking team, they're about to be 1-4.
You could say that for all of the bottom four teams if they had that schedule. So, like, it's kind of irrelevant. It sucks that it's, like, this close to champs and they need wins. But in terms of just, like, the raw roster that they have now, it's just unfortunate circumstances. But they put themselves in that hole. So.
Yeah. And Johnny had his moments where he was, like, kind of piecing, kind of doing his thing. Like, one thing I like about Johnny, he's very unselfish. Like, he'll throw himself at hills, and he'll challenge shit. Like, he's not – you could tell he had some confidence out there.
I mean, Johnny's
know?
Job is to be hyper-aggressive, play around the objective, and put down shots. And
yeah.
He's always he's had high damage in both of the losses or
How
both of his wins.
The eye test?
The eye test is pretty. He passed the eye test a little bit. He can shoot. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I feel like everybody's like that. Purge can shoot, right?
Yeah, but it's not about shooting. It's about, like,
decisions. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so much more to it.
The reason they lost the series wasn't because, like, oh, my God, the roster, this guy's, like, shit. It's like they just all broke down. Like, you can see it in the stats. They broke the fuck down.
They shit themselves on main.
They came back onto that Rio hard point, and then they just lost the S&Ds because they're just not an objectively good search team.
Yeah, agreed. Let's move on. Let's go to the next series of the day. There were five of them, so it was a long day at COD. We had LA Thieves going up against the Boston Breach. This one as well goes all the way down to a map number 5. We'll scroll down and take a look at the box score here. It was LA Thieves who were able to close it out in the map 5 against Boston. Again, Boston, they continue to struggle in their map 5s. I don't know what their actual record is, Sam or Ben.
They lost their last eight.
It's like last eight, they're like 1-12.
That is insane. They are 1-12. They are just not good when it comes to map 5.
But that's also crazy because that means they're pushed the last eight to game 5.
Yeah,
which is
crazy.
They've been going distance in these series, but just as Chris's beeps, they just haven't been able to close, and they – I don't know. While we've been doing the show, Krem tweeted out that apparently his controller broke mid-event. So maybe that explains.
Fucking hell, bro.
Man.
Which, by the way, I don't think.
How do we not have fucking backups, dude?
Not a valid excuse. Not a valid excuse. You can control your own equipment. Have a backup, bro. Don't go to Twitter and complain about this shit.
God damn it.
But anyway, the point with Boston, bro, is just both these teams have an inability to close. Boston, a lot worse than Thieves, because at least Thieves have been able to close out game 5s when they go the distance.
Yeah,
I thought Boston showed some good grit, especially in that first Rio. The Karachi control was also well played from Boston. Sub-base is pretty back and forth, but the high-res S&D, once that lit up, yeah, we're like, yeah, watch
this
out.
This is going 5, this is over.
Bro, the way Boston's playing offense on this map, we're like, yeah, GG's.
Yeah, they're throwing the Snoopy Pokemon ball again.
No, bro, they weren't even doing that. They were just going heli stairs on offense. And fucking
scroll down.
Yeah, but how many times, Sam, did we see Snoopy hit underground to their steps? Oh, yeah, and just going, you know what I mean? Just like trying to do like stupid shit. He got blooded a couple rounds.
Which I do like about LAT in that game 5 specifically was like once they killed Snoopy, they kind of like took a deep breath on the minimap. You could almost tell. And like, all right, we're good. Like, no one else is going to fucking.
Listen, I'm going to say this about Boston.
That guy can shoot, though. Snoopy can fucking shoot.
About Boston,
he's hella talented.
And there's no disrespect to Nate Pentagram, but I just don't think we've seen enough from him this stage for him to keep a spot on this team. I think to the future, try and find someone to come in for his last stage and at least make a deep run. I don't think Nate's that guy. And, you know, Snoop was okay today, and they kind of live and die by the ego chow, mostly die by it, so it's what it is. And Preston started off 0-10 in this series. Think about it. He went 84-75 and started off 0-10. So after the 0-10, he actually fried.
He almost went positive.
And I got to tip Ben Beans, man. I was actually pretty critical of Ben Beans with his pickup. But Ben's actually come in and played particularly good. And I think he's almost at a point now, like a decision they had last year. Like, they actually might be an argument to
bro,
keep
Bro, I've
Ben.
Told you.
You that,
no, Beans good.
He just does stupid shit. That's their whole fucking team, bro. We'd never question the gunny.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, I'm not going to make excuses for Ben or anybody on this roster's stupid plays where they just, like, throw their lives away. The thing is with Ben is, like, bro, all these other rookies that come in, because Ben, at one point when he was a rookie and joined the Boston, they're joining teams that at least have, like, hope. Boston has been literally dead last at, like, 8 majors in a row, counting last year. Like, he's joining a roster that basically is just fucking lost on the map, and, like, that is a product of the Boston Breach organization, coaching staff, managing staff, literally not understanding how to build a fucking good roster, because they're just literally fucking randomly choosing players out of the freaking challengers and just throwing them together and hoping they work. They've obviously had some players that are talented. Snoopy, definitely a talented player. Beans, another talented player that they've picked up in the past. But overall, their roster construction is just fucking poor. And then, Preston played good today, but their whole team is just wildly inconsistent. Snoopy's the only person that's been super consistent. I would say Ben, at least in the slaying category, is always pretty damn consistent too.
But
this
bro,
team
I
is just
like,
a mess, bro.
I feel like we shouldn't even look at their stats because they're not a bad respawn team. Like, yep. They just are garbage at search. Like,
yeah.
The world
that's so bad.
This was the most Boston Breach series.
Yeah.
Like,
they've been bad.
We've been talking about this.
They've been bad all year in search. And I think the other problem, too, is it's now something like five events in a row going into last season where they've gotten dead last, including champs, they got top eight. Like, we've talked about this now for a few weeks. You go in this last split, the likelihood of you making champs is basically you got to win the event. At this point, you got to be thinking about the future and how we're going to rebuild and get Boston Breach back to at least what we were like the first year we were a squad, which is in.
I think the main problem when I'm watching Boston and their search and destroy play, like they don't adapt to like any situations as the map goes on. Like it seems like they just kind of go to their defaults, and it seems like they all play individually on their own, and they all have their defaults that they do, and they just constantly keep going back to those defaults. Where like the best teams in the game, like the top four teams. In the middle of games, like especially if they lose the first couple rounds and stuff, like they're gonna adapt. Like they're gonna try and read the other team, try and see what they're doing, their setups, and change it up. Like Boston never changes it up.
If Boston doesn't win the round in the first 30 to 45 seconds of the round, it's over. They lost.
You see it on Invasion. We didn't play Invasion Search in this series, but Invasion SNE is the biggest culprit for them so far this stage.
They're
0-10. 0-1,000,000 on that fucking round, especially on offense.
Am I crazy to think it's just like four island players? Because that's when you look at the minimap, that's what it looks like.
I mean, bro,
Snoopy's an aggressive one, but
did you watch the game five pet or no?
No, I didn't.
Bro, the game five in this series, they do the same strat every offense. They would run out of the windows and go heli stairs and like wait for Snoopy to do something.
But they did that before.
They did that every round. But like they would spread the map before. Like genuinely, they did the same thing every offense today. And as soon as LAT killed Snoopy on defense, they were like, they just
I just don't think they're good S&D players.
I mean, no, they're not, bro. You don't go.
I mean,
even if you have strats,
you have to be able to adapt and search.
I think P-Dog's a good search player, but he's their bomb carrier, so he's also limited in how aggressive he can get on offense as well. Like, I just fundamentally, as he's put together,
why is he their bomb carrier?
Pentagram was before, Pentagram but Pentagram was. Is listen, Pentagram team with Doug,
they also
in Challengers,
don't have a bomb carrier.
You know what's crazy, bro? Hear me out. The fact that Pentagram and Doug or Snoopy both team with Doug for such an extended period of time in Challengers made them bad at search, and I'll tell you why. Doug is literally, I'm not even lying, he's the ultimate objective player. Nobody touches the bomb in any situation besides Doug. So when any of these guys got the bomb in their hands, they don't even
know
what
to do. Did
you hear
what Doug was saying on the desk?
What was he saying?
He was saying that they just need to plant the bomb because the enemy runs at you after you plant the bomb.
There's five matches tomorrow.
I mean, that's facts.
That's what he was saying on the desk. He said, we're bad at search, but if we just plant the bomb, they have to run at us. That's what he said on the desk.
Bro, that's crazy. Imagine teaming with like somebody for like a year or 2 years straight and you've never touched a bomb before. You get that shit in your hands and you're like...
Does the CDL sub rule, like, does it allow for mid-game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you can do mid-series.
Oh, like mid-game?
Can, like, Doug come in every offensive round?
That would be insane. That would be crazy.
Every offensive round.
It's like the end of game. It's like the
Doug just comes in to plant the bomb, dude. It's like they just escort, they'll like, keep, like, protect the president to the fucking bomb site.
Bro, it's like some end of game in the NBA cheese. Where you're fucking
Doug might need to, or Boston might need to sign an S&D roster. Just all S&D players.
That would be hilarious.
Just sub them in.
Listen, I said
GM Doug.
I said it a few weeks ago, chat. We're officially at the territory. We're going to talk very little about Boston Breach going forward. Their matches only go online.
I mean, this was a cut.
Yeah, they're chalked.
It's an LAG Cold War
situation.
Out.
They got last. I'm pretty sure they're probably out of contention at this point.
I don't think so. I think if they theoretically won all their matches online,
they're out of contention.
They're not mathematically out of contention.
They're
but
out of contention.
Realistically, they are.
Realistically,
they're
not.
Sure.
Yeah. For on the other side, I thought these looked pretty good this series. I mean, granted, they went last map with Boston, who only has 50 points, so... definitely not the series they were probably looking for,
bro,
but they did come out with a dub. So
blackouts in this series, the nasty mm-hmm. streak map for Kremp not winning the game on the P1.
That was crazy.
Like there were some severe map 4 blackouts in this series.
I think if you're Thieves management, like again, we talked about their goal going in the season was identify some cornerstone players and build around. Dan has shown plenty to be that. I just think they haven't found that second guy yet of the remaining trio here.
I mean, Kremp, I'm spoiling a little bit, but Kremp did not have a good day today.
And
controller, bro.
Byron's inconsistent,
bro.
And Joe's inconsistent.
It's controller,
like,
bro.
I don't want to be that guy.
That's not a legit excuse.
I don't think Kremp is that good.
He's just
now, he shows glimpses of
he's
like,
just hit
yo,
and miss.
What the fuck?
He's just hit or miss, bro. He's a high-paced sub player. When he's on, he's on.
But he's like
not,
super
he's
hit
cooked.
Or miss. Like
nah,
he's
super hit or miss because he doesn't think. He
I think
just
he's had like
everything.
Two series in the CDL so far where he's been like, wow, he's been impressive. But
that
besides
phase
that,
series a while ago.
The phase series, I think he had like one online. Yeah, and ever since then, like he just has
he
not
has good,
been.
He has good plays, but like putting together a good series is so difficult for the way that he plays the game because it's just so like streaky. He's either getting shit on or just frying. If and there's just no like 1.0 middle ground.
If you're thinking about the path for Thieves to become a top five, top four, whatever team, it's having a core team that can make the correct decisions as a unit. And the only one I think it's capable of doing is Dan. Everybody else, they block out mid-series and they make mistakes. So
I think Joe has been really good for them.
Hey, just
yeah,
pretty good came
but
back.
He's also mega inconsistent, and he also had some blackout moments in this series. And
he's had some moments, but like overall, I'd say that he's been their second most consistent player behind Joe or behind Dan. Excuse me.
I think Joe's decent, but the thing going the offseason with that is like there may be better options out there.
Oh, there were yeah.
But you have to try and take away those blackouts on land, bro. Like he
that's
it's
not something you can get rid of.
Against
though, yeah.
Boston, especially.
Like, you just
got to
do it.
Like, Kremp is reminding me of the way, like, Hook is playing, like, hot
like,
right
what now. What do you think causes just, a blackout? Like, what do you think causes players to blackout?
I mean, it could be a combination of things. Could be nerves. Could be on stage. You, like when you play on stage, you get put in situations you never are in scrims just because it's such a different environment. So, like, maybe he's finding himself in spots
say,
he's never
it,
been
say,
in.
If somebody in chat, because I just read it, I glimpsed it and I immediately saw it. Somebody said the Afro was better. You can almost, I mean, like, he wasn't. I don't know if
they
I don't think he was,
we
but at well. Least but at least with Afro he was they, doing really good in search.
Insane,
no, bro. These guys are good at S&D.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying like statistics.
What?
I'm saying like statistic to statistic or stats.
Bro, Afro wasn't shooting his gun and respawn.
Yeah,
I'm not listening.
Of course, I just read it. I read it and I wanted to like point it out just to see what everyone
Marcus was not shooting his gun.
All I'm saying is this: I know Thieves won the sub base, but Krem could have won the game on the P1 and chose not to, and that could have been
and
all-time blunder.
It was bad.
Yeah, they still won. They needed 5 seconds to win, right? The hill was white, 10 seconds
left.
They killed all the people, and all he had to do was get in the hill, and he rotated.
I mean, I read another comment, because I'm just kind of looking at chat while you guys are discussing. Somebody said they need another star SMG, and maybe
you don't just get a star.
You don't just get
one.
Hard
to find.
You don't
that.
Get one.
It's hard.
But yes, I could agree that maybe they could try to upgrade in the SMG category somewhere because I feel like Joe plays his role well. I think Nasty doesn't have like a lot of pop off series, but he's always contributing. Like he's always
he's throwing
down,
damage and he's in the right spot.
He throws down damage and stuff like that.
But realistically, who would you get? Realistically, who would you pick up?
Like I'm just saying, like if they wanted to make a change. For Kremp, I wouldn't be mad at them trying something, whether they do or not, because of how late it is in the season and how they played online and them maybe having a little bit more faith in them carrying that forward. I don't know. But shit, I mean, with the way Kremp's playing and his up-and-down streaky play style, they just need another reliable piece, bro, to help Dan. Dan is fucking godlike.
Yeah.
Listen, if I'm Dan,
he's hella good.
The
bro.
Fact that he has
he's
not,
insane.
The
Dan's
fact
insane.
That he has not had at least a top six this year is fucking
nah,
mind blowing.
Dan is fucking.
If I'm
crazy.
Dan, I am sliding in Paco's DMs over the next month and a half and convincing this guy.
That's insane,
Paco.
If you're Dan, you're trying to sketch on your team. It's
Paco,
season.
No,
I'm not
trying going
to get Paco's
sketch
Paco's
on
contract
York.
Starts with
first
a
off,
five.
Thieves can't even afford Paco.
Paco's contract is that whole roster put together.
You think Matt would pay for Paco?
That's fucking true.
Wait, but if Paco wanted to come to Thieves, you don't think?
No,
Dan.
They can't afford Paco.
If Dan is sliding in DMs, if Dan is sliding into Paco's DMs, he's not saying, yo, come
Paco's
join the Thieves. He's like, yo,
save
get
me
off the Thieves.
Yes.
Yo, Dante's not that good,
Dante.
Bro.
100%. That's insane.
By the way, to answer your question, Tom, about the blackout thing, I think from my experience, most times I saw players blackout is when they genuinely just didn't know what to do. Like, they didn't know the right play, and that's why they do some blackout, just dumb shit.
That's because, like, the shit on stage doesn't happen in scrims.
Yeah, yeah. Ever. I mean, dude, the game always plays different. Yeah. Like, it's just by the nature. I know, Ben, you hate that, but, like, the nature of the game, like, it's always different on land in the moment.
I agree with you on that. But that's why even the online practice is important, because you got to know where your priorities are, right? If you get in a weird situation and we know our rules on what to do, like, that's when you fall back on making the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thieves team does not do that often, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll talk about Thieves later on because they do play again.
This goddamn series, bro.
At the end of it, they do play again. But Boston, of course, they are eliminated. They remain with, what, 50 points still? I swear, every time I look at the standings, they just don't move.
They're done.
Their year is chalked, I'll be honest.
They're one foot in Cancun right now.
Yeah, no, 100%. Thieves continue on. We'll see them again moving forward, but let's move on to the next
one.
Actually,
not Cancun, Cape Cod, but go ahead.
We have Seattle Surge going up against the Minnesota Rocker. This one ended up in a 3-1 finish in favor of the Seattle Surge. We can scroll down here and take a look at the box score. Everybody negative except for Standy on the Minnesota Rocker, which was kind of the story coming into the event, I feel like. Standy was the only guy online getting kills for these guys, and that continued here. Linz continues to struggle a little bit, right? I think we all, like, we know how fast, like, Linz was starting the season or how good he started the season. Yeah. And he's kind of fallen off a little bit. And, again, the ARs from Minnesota Rocker, you know, they continue to struggle. They're having a hard time getting kills and keeping up. On the other side, definitely want to shout out 04. This guy can play. I think 04, I know a lot of people were talking about him in Challengers, and granted, he made a name for himself in Challengers. He did it all himself. He played with a classic Nicky D, and even Nick would gas this guy up a lot, man. Just not only his respawn game and his talent, but he's very good at search, which I think helps a lot. We were even talking about him in the watch party, but just what 04 has brought to this team has been great, and that also allows Abuza right to get back in the AR. This guy continues to shine when he plays a role that he got picked up to do in the first place.
He was literally one of the best ARs in Challengers.
He was the best AR.
And it's kind of sad to think about all those matches they played in the beginning of the year with him on a sub.
And he wasn't even terrible.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't terrible with a sub.
That's why I feel like Bo's getting a bad shake, bro. But
you're trying to throw somebody who's getting picked up because of his AR gameplay to adapt and change roles in the pro, like, while playing against the best players in the world.
Yeah.
So he continues to shine on the AR. And then Brezzy and Hook, obviously both negative, but they were making plays. They were moving around the map. They put a lot of aggression to the map. And they were doing their thing as well. So Seattle Surge to get the 3-1 victory over Minnesota. I'll kick it off to you guys, Pat. We'll start with you. What did you think about this series, Pat? What do you think?
Listen, Tom, Rockers suck. They okay, suck. Pat. They're awful. Okay.
Band-aid right on
question. Like, there's a lot you could say. I mean, when we just look at their roster and, like, just question this management. I mean, we've done it before, still doing it. But the one thing for me, I think, I don't know if you guys saw, like, Slasher called out. He wanted to pick up 04 on Boston.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether Austin was on the team or not, I actually think that's what Boston should have done. I think they should, even if they kept, they should have just gone for
04. God they didn't pick him up.
Bro, they had a very simple path. Listen, love Wake, but he was obviously the weak person. All they had to do was replace Wake, and they made the two-person change. Look, I know Eli has come in and shot very straight, but it seems like with the Pierce Eli move, they now have two ARs that play the same way.
Bro, we've been a dead horse,
man. Two subs that play the same way. Like, it is
being a dead horse with this team.
Yeah, they're cooked. Respond.
They're cooked.
They got to make another change.
Only reason this wasn't a 3-0 is Eli decided to drop 17, the S&D kill
Insane
record.
Insane map, too.
That was a crazy match.
He went 17-4, bro. Like, that's the only reason the series went 4.
And you guys might not like this. Am I crazy? But how is accuracy still in the league when Austin is a free agent? Like, when I'm looking at
I'm not hating on this.
Like, why would you ever want Lamar over Austin if you can get the same money, the same deal?
I do not
know.
Well, that probably comes down to Dan Looney at that point, right? Because Dan's probably the key callous if they're going to pull.
He's been struggling for sure.
But, like, Austin is
– Lamar's been struggling.
Austin can be everything Lamar is and just better in every category. That's why it's really weird to me that – I mean, and this isn't just Lamar. There's multiple players in the league you can say this for, but it's kind of crazy to me just to see that – You know, I know we talked about Lamar was good when Wake was on the squad, but, like, Wake was so
Lamar had one good stage.
We're just going full Rise Nation, bro.
Lamar and Linz both had one good stage.
Yeah, they started the year so good. Linz and Lamar were, like, the duo for this squad, and they both regressed a lot.
They were loving the MW2 maps.
Go ahead, Ben. Are you going
to
say something?
I just think, again, the same problem that Vegas has, Rocker have to play three of the top teams, Optic, New York, and Seattle, so... I think Minnesota's got a big decision. Like, I don't know how you can look at
what place are they in right now in the standings.
The stage.
They were like fifth coming into the sub.
They're pretty high.
They're right on the cut right now, but other people have opportunity to earn points tomorrow. So
where are they at right now?
They are sitting on 120, but with Carolina 105, Miami on 100, and it does not count any major points right now.
Okay, so it doesn't count the points.
So I think Rocker is going to either be an eighth or potentially a ninth.
Okay, so Vegas is out.
These points are not going to be updated.
Yeah, they're not updated, but we can kind of get a good
judge.
Vegas and LAG are out. but Seattle. Miami
and Ravens.
But Miami's on 100, and now it's all from online. So, so I think Rocker, listen, the way this is going to work out is this. You need to try and win 3 or 4 games online because, God forbid, you don't get the 15 for getting top 8. You need to have a cushion so you don't have that like guarantee I need to win in that first loser bracket match. So, I mean, the decision to make. Like, are you going to drop Lamar, pick up Boston, and
they need to make try something. And win a couple online games? They need to do something, bro, because they're in contention right now, and they cannot let the current situation just like fester
if
for
they,
the rest
if
of the
they
year.
Don't make a change, they're they
quitting.
Don't care.
They're
quitting. They don't care.
Yeah. I 100%.
If they can't make a change, this franchise
they can. Austin's literally
inability, bro. This is just as bad as the choke they had last year for making champs. I don't know what this franchise can't. Figure out the end of seasons. Other than Cole here,
the main issue with this team is what Chris always says, bro. Two of them will permanently be getting shit on, and two of them will be playing well.
Yeah,
that is what the issue is with this team. They are horrible at respawn. And again, this series should have been a 3-0, but Eli decided to have the map of his fucking life. So
and that stems from the composition of the team, Sam. Like how they built the team and the play styles. And
we've talked about it.
Yeah, it's just
Hardpoint is literally like Hardpoint is the most role dependent game mode. Control, like to a point, is chalked up to like glorified TDM, and it really doesn't matter what your role is. Your job is to just get kills and get on a like it's super simple. Yeah. Hardpoint, you actually need like role players and people that are doing the right shit, whether they're taking routes or baiting for people, or there's actual like insane amounts of like micro situations that you'll get into where you need players that play certain do certain things, and they just have too many of the same people doing the same shit. So when one of them is thriving, the other person just is literally fucking clueless because they're probably doing something they've never done before. Lamar literally had more engagements than Pierce this map. That means he is literally playing the quote unquote aggressive AR, right? Just objectively looking at stats, Lamar in the aggression fucking seat. Yeah, nice try. Like it's just they're just fucked.
Is
like
your math
all right? Huh? He said for the map.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean for the series?
No. Well, yeah, for the series. It's pretty close. Well, it's
for
close.
The series,
but
Lamar had less.
He had less. But like, he's just Lamar's just getting less kills. He had more deaths.
I mean, look,
Lamar and Big P are playing the same role right now.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna plant ideas in their head. Like, if I walk by them in the lobby, I'm just gonna be like, "Yo, y'all making changes? Like, just
what are you thinking, bro?
Nonchalant? Like, yeah. What's I mean? Some changes.
A lot of free
made,
agents
huh?
out there, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people are sitting on side
out of here tomorrow, though. So.
Oh, they're changing flights. They're out.
A lot of teams are changing flights.
You lose on a Friday, bro. Nice try. I'm out.
A lot of teams just leave. They don't stay.
Yeah.
I large P would be the type of person to stay, but I don't know about everybody else.
Hope they're not flying Air Canada.
Oh, that's all right.
They're flying.
To go on. Yeah, and then on the other side, what do you guys think about Seattle?
Shout out Abuza, bro.
Abuza's hand, bro.
Shout out Abuza.
He's playing
bro.
So well.
Who would have fucking thought? It's just funny because 04 shouted out Rambo in his post game today.
They did.
This is the problem, though. Every time I see Abuza play well, I see
Pisses
Gwyn play well, I see Ghosty play well, I'm just man, we could have had the Gwyn guys on the Thieves.
That would have been crazy.
Seattle looked good, Pat. You might have cooked with that one.
I like Seattle, dude. They have a good S&D fallback. Granted, they lost it because Eli went crazy. But they have a good S&D fallback. And every single person, apparently, that I fucking talked to in the league says that Seattle is a phenomenal team. So, top four included in that. So, I mean, it's good to see them kind of bully Minnesota today. But when you put Abuza, I mean, we said it for fucking 9 months. Chad's probably tired of us saying it. But when you put the guy on the role that he's supposed to be running, he plays good Call of Duty.
The thing about Seattle is they just have go buttons, bro. And when the rest of the league, at least at the bottom end, just to a fault. But that's what makes them lose against good teams, like the top four. But when it comes to the bottom teams, like the fact that they at least fucking move on the map and make good attempts and actually try to progress is probably why they beat.
They can't see shit, bro.
That's why they beat the lower tier teams.
Boxers.
The lower tier teams don't fucking move.
Yeah, I agree. I do think their aggression will hurt them, though. It hurts them at times.
It hurts them when they play good teams.
Yeah.
Toronto cooked them yesterday for it.
You got to think that they can easily like reflect on that watching their VOD and trying to adapt.
That's just like a fundamental thing because like, for a comparison, like when you play that insane pace of Call of Duty, you're making the teams that are equal to you or less like skillful than you play your game.
Yeah.
But like when you play against the top four or a team that can slow it down and like kind of make their game how you're going to play, Seattle's just going to sprint. But when they can play that style of just chaotic pandemonium fucking running around, they know what's going on, and whoever they're playing against has no fucking clue.
Yeah. It's also the maps that they're good at. They play a lot of the new maps, and those new maps are way more like aggression heavy and mixy.
Yeah, Invasion getting under here has actually been a benefit to them.
Who did the interview for them that said like they loved Rambo as a
coach?
Oh, four.
I mean, that makes me wonder, do you guys think it was Rambo's decision on the Abuza thing, or Alec and like
It's probably a combo.
Were you talking about the sub AR thing?
Yeah.
Definitely a combo. I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's a combo.
That is a good point. I really don't know.
Because I wouldn't be gassing my coach if he had that guy.
He said Ray's calling out for him. He knows where everyone's at.
Bro, it seems like the situation where Kyler, Alec, and Ender, we're a team of three. And, let's pick up the next best player, Abuza, or we just got to figure out roles. He's going to have to sacrifice because we're going to, do this, and that was that. I think it was just a group effort.
It might have just been a team decision. Just all of them together came together and said, he could probably run the sub, and we'll be good.
It's another one of these.
Team's fun to watch, man.
They are a fun team to watch.
I enjoy watching them play.
Well, I'm excited to see who they're going to play next.
They play Carolina, right?
Who?
Did they play Carolina?
We're going to take a look at the matches. We'll take a look at the matches.
Speaking of
Carolina, let's switch on over to the next one. We got the Carolina Royal Ravens going up against the Los Angeles Gorillas. This one ended in a 3-1 victory for the Carolina Royal Ravens. LAG falls short yet again. The only map they were able to win was the control.
It wasn't even close.
But both hard points and a surge went to Carolina. It was not close at all.
Let me see that fucking
Jesus.
Play with a 1-4-6. Holy shit.
Dude, I'm buying in.
Everybody
I'm buying
negative.
In, bro.
Game is horrible.
I'm buying in.
I want to believe in Carolina.
I'm buying in.
Tyler Fellow and Clay on land is a night and day difference, bro.
Gwynn is obviously was online like sometimes a hard carry for this team, but I don't know what is it with these two ARs. Like online, the land difference with them this season has been fucking insane. When they come to land, just a completely different team. And when they play a team like LAG or hashtag not good, like they were just super disciplined today.
Mm-hmm. They were very, very disciplined. And I think
Clay got drug tested.
Clay did get drug tested after the series.
They saw 1.4 and they said, whoa.
I mean, I don't know if it's like a mental block with these guys online.
It's got
to
be part
It has to be like somewhat. I mean, they have looked a lot better online when they all moved in together.
I will say part of it is mental, but they also said that their PCs, like the league PCs they have, are fucking ass.
Aren't they all the same?
The thing is,
every PC should be the same. Nobody should have a different PC.
So hear me out. So I used one of the recent CDL PCs one time when I went to London's house last year to play a cup when I was competing in Challengers. Yeah, but they suck ass.
They suck ass.
They're like so. They're Alienware pre-builts, and they're like in this like shit fucking case that has like zero ventilation.
Too big. The case is.
And
too
I'm a nerd, so I immediately knew like these things literally are overheating. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So I went, and there's like an Alienware app on there, and you can turn up the fans on like every component on there. So I immediately did that. Sounds like a fucking rocket ship.
Holy fuck.
I'm willing to bet that a lot of people don't know that, or maybe they do, and maybe some of them don't, and maybe like some of them are already pre-done. Mm-hmm. So some of these PCs that some of these players playing on, especially if they're playing long hours, are probably getting sent to the fucking gulag because their fucking
components
are overheating.
Yeah, same computers here. But I would say this. I don't know if Gwynn's still in the chat, bro. I would also ask CDL to factory reset your PCs to like clean install
Windows.
Yeah,
that too.
All right, listen, bro. PCs aside.
Windows is fucking piece of shit and corrupts over time.
I'm not saying that's the reason. I'm just saying that I know for a fact they could play it.
Tyler Felony and Clayster are fucking them.
They're
dude.
Them on land.
They
though.
Fucking fraud. Like, this series was not close at any point.
Ever read my chat? I'm cooking, boys. What'd you say?
Fellow started maps like 17-5 today. He went like 33-10 map 4.
What did Dante say? What did Sib say? He said, you can't. They don't let you on land.
Man, you can't change anything. I'm just saying at home. At home, you can go on the Alienware app. It's pre-downloaded on there and turn fans up and make the – even though the PCs are loud as fuck, like they'll run better just because there's way better like cooling and fan speed.
Yeah. Gwynn didn't have to do anything today. We were watching him today just kind of play the objective. Like he wasn't really frying he normally
does.
Shot
his gun, bro.
Chris and I were having a conversation today that Gwynn has been playing better online than he has at events. And I genuinely think the reasoning for that is he is getting put in spots where his team is getting every kill.
Yeah.
And he genuinely has no fucking clue, like, what is going on.
Yeah, he's probably not used to it. He's not used to it.
He's in the chat.
Bro, I sound faded as fuck.
Yeah, he's in the chat.
I sound faded, but I'm being so serious. Online, he is doing everything. 1.2, 1.1, like, actually getting every kill. And then they show up to events, and he's having Clay and Fellow drop 1.4 and 1.3s, and he's like, fuck it, I'll get time.
We have Gwynn in the chat. I won't lie. Gwynn in the chat. I won't lie. I feel like I'm in a weird spot. spots, my goats are frying.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah, like, nah, it seems like his ARs, the whole map is free. And he's like,
the team dynamic is just so different.
It's so different because he's, bro, we watched it on the Karachi. We were like, dude, Gwyn's just diving in the hill, just dying. Because, like, what else does he do? His teammates are getting every fucking kill. Like, yeah, I'll flood. I'll get time.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like at the same time, while we're not seeing those pop off performances, it's also a product of how good his teammates are actually playing.
Yeah. But, and we got to talk about TJ too, bro. I mean, we know when it comes to TJ, like, he's a very fundamentally sound player. We talk about his S&D game a lot, but in respawn he's been getting kills, bro. And if he can continue to play like this, I know we talked about it online a little bit, but if TJ steps up in that department where he's slaying out as well, like, this could be a really tough team to beat, man. This could be a good team.
My big thing is just he's been consistent. Like,
that's what I was saying.
Most teams struggle with inconsistent players. Like, he's actually, you know, regardless of whether he's like super frying or whatnot, like, he's at least always being a consistent player and producing results. So yeah, I mean, TJ, I think he's been a big X factor for this squad.
And TJ also just makes good decisions around the map, right? Like, he'll take good routes. Like, he won't make a lot of just, like, brain rot, like, blackout plays, right? Like, he's a good COD player.
A smart player.
And he'll make good decisions around the map. So, all around, Carolina's been clicking right now. And granted, they played LAG, man.
Bro, I get that.
They played LAG.
But, like,
these guys are terrible.
If you are a Ravens fan and you didn't get a chance to watch this series, I implore you, they fucking destroyed
them. They destroyed
them. That was a fun series to watch.
So what happened with LAG? Chris, we'll start with you. These are your guys. What happened?
Scroll up.
They're dog shit.
I mean, they're my homies, but at the end of the day, bro, like, I've said it before, they're just inconsistent. I said it before, Connor is literally falling off a cliff. Diamond has literally not played good this entire stage. I thought he'd probably level up here on land, but he didn't. Flames, I think, has played good in like two of his online matches, or one of his first two. And then ever since then, he hasn't played too well. But it's also a product of the rest of the roster literally just getting absolutely pooped on. Estro had a 1.0 here, but he hasn't been as explosive. And then Fame has always been inconsistent. He's been better on land the last two stages. Obviously, placing top six, he had to be. But I mean, this is a product that we've said this before. Pat's even said this before. It's not a one person thing. It hasn't been a one person thing.
You're sugarcoating this. This team is just dog shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Is the only decent one on this.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. It's never been a one person issue as to why this team sucked. Them getting rid of Adam wasn't going to change them drastically. Even in the long run, I just didn't have faith.
Can they make roster changes, Chris?
No, they can't. I don't think LAG will allow them to. I think anybody that has signed their team on the roster currently is the only player that they can replace. I said that before. They replaced Flames with Adam because that was the first issue they thought could probably make them better, but I don't think they're going
to
make changes.
People are calling for Adam to come back, bro.
The organization, hell no. The organization is just cooked.
I mean, look, this is what, bro. Now the seventh?
No.
How many years?
Hey, they placed top six with Adam.
This is the fifth year?
Fifth or sixth?
I think it's the fifth year.
So fifth or sixth year that LAG has not made champs and won't make champs. They're going to continue their streak.
Well, LAG as an organization is like chalk. Like, they're not trying to be in the CDO anymore, I'm pretty sure.
Good. Get them the fuck out of here, bro, if they don't want to try. Oh, bro, I'm
plus one. Shout out, Ben.
Bro, I'm really confused now. We didn't really pay attention at the moment. How the fuck? Okay, so I guess with Carolina now, with their S&D map pool, it's particularly difficult because you have to kind of choose your poison with Rio and Karachi and search. And I assume Rio S&D is what? LAG banned, and that's how you end up on Karachi. Like,
yeah.
Carolina's got some S&D bread and butters. That's why I picked them to get top four potentially at this event, because even against like a New York Subliner, is anyone that will jump from the top side of
they have
down,
the New York
like,
Subliners
they got the chance
bracket.
To beat them, yeah.
They have the New York Subliners bracket, assuming New York loses the phase tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Do they flip? Does it flip down?
Yeah, it flips.
I mean,
it flips
in, yeah. I mean, like, look, I know Fellow is much better on land, but do we expect Clay to have another one of those performances versus...
I don't know.
Clay could have gotten 15 less kills and probably still won the series.
Well, the thing is...
Because they're playing LAG, I'm talking about versus New York.
Regardless of him dropping a 1.4 or not, Clay always puts up a lot of damage. And
Clay's impactful.
They
Clay's
fought
fucking
hard
old,
versus Optic,
but he's
too.
Impactful, bro.
They did fight Optic a little bit. I mean, granted, Optic...
They could have forced a map 5.
They could have. It got there. You know, at least it didn't get blown out by Optic, right? Like, they didn't just get smoked.
I was, like, kind of not... in the same, like, the boat where I was like, oh, these guys are just better on land. Like, I'm just going to chalk up everything I see online. Like, whatever. If they get points, they get points. I think now we're three stages in at this point. We've seen three events worth of land series from this Carolina team. These guys are just better on land, bro.
Period. Yeah, they're not bad. I mean, they've gotten better online.
They're unequivocally better online.
Somebody said, bro, they were not beating Optic. Well, obviously, Optic hasn't lost to anybody in fucking months, except for FaZe.
They put up the best shot.
I'm just saying, like,
they had the best showing out of any team that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, that's all I meant
versus
by
any top four
they
team.
They weren't going to win, but
No one was saying they were going to win.
I didn't have them winning that either. I mean, FaZe and Optic are top two right now. I just didn't see it, but I was impressed by their gameplay. I felt like they were keeping it close, and they made it a good series. You know what I mean? So, Carolina, they've been looking really good. LAG, they are eliminated now. Again, you guys said you don't think they're making any changes. I mean,
this team's doomed.
I think it's over with. Yeah, I think the year is – it's getting to that
they're
point.
Still,
like Ben said, it's getting to that point.
They're still in contention.
They're still there, but, I mean, yeah, they're going to have to fix
can't
it.
Win, they can't win series online is a fucking problem.
Diamond Con did start.
Did I tell you guys is going to happen with LAG, bro? This gang top six and land streak was –
because they gave them – every team gave them every map they wanted to play because that didn't affect them.
And now they're in fucking trouble.
Teams. Let's not forget.
Yeah, but they're still winning those land matches. That's how they're staying.
Yeah, but they were playing like the Miami can't win a series on land team.
So their online split. Listen, their online split though. Listen to this. Carolina.
This is LAG.
Carolina, LA Thieves, Miami, FaZe, Boston, Vegas, Seattle. All I'm
I don't
saying.
Hate that.
They don't have the worst
split. There is opportunity there.
That.
But yeah, they got to win. They got to win some online series.
It's not
though.
Even that, bro. Their problem is they win. Can't make any more changes, bro. And like their players are falling. Connor needs to step up, period. Like, if this team is going to remain the same, which I probably will assume it will, I don't know if Adam's going to come back at any capacity for anyone. Connor needs to find his groove again. And Fame's also been wildly inconsistent for a long time, but what's kept him on the team is at those LAN events, he's played well whenever they've made runs. He has not played well since, so... Yeah, they all need to step it up, bro.
Yeah. Let's move on to the last series of the day. We had the Miami Heretics going up against the Los Angeles Thieves. And the LA Thieves fall to the Miami Heretics. The Vamos Bucks are skyrocketing to the moon.
Miami,
what a top six placing. Let's scroll down, take a look here at the scoreboard and see what's going on here. Or the box score, excuse me. You can see on the Miami side, everybody pulling their weight. Especially in the damage department. I mean, Vicko, he had a .81, but Vicko was making plays during the series. If you're watching the series, he had his moments where he's making some good plays. And on the other side, they fall short, man. It got really sloppy with the LA Thieves in this series. I think the first hard point probably could have went their way. Miami did a good job clutching up at the end.
Map 2 could have gone their way, too.
And then map 2 was just, that's the map that's, yeah, the map 2 is what I wanted to talk about the most. They threw that map away. They trolled the map 2. Granted, Miami has looked very good on 6-star the last couple days, S&D, but I think that was a map that could have went their way. I mean, Sam, I want to talk to you because this is obviously your squad here. I mean, where do you think LA Thieves kind of fell short today? What do you think was the biggest problem?
I think this was a trap series. As soon as Miami, I knew that they were playing LA today, Miami was, I just looked at the map pools and I mean, I think I said it. Ben probably said it as well. Yeah. We called it 3-1 here.
Like, their map pools.
I did not think it was going to be the control that was going to be the 3-1, but these two map pools do not mix at all. So I saw maps, probably 6-stars Miami favored. High control, I had no faith for LAT to win. In sub base, I had Miami. So I was expecting like maybe an LAT map 1 and then Miami to win the next 3, but this map set did them no favors. Miami's S&D has been great. Granted, LAT threw it into a fucking oblivion. It was really, really bad. But the sub base, well, there was no point that was close. Cramp went like 5 in fucking infinity. So, I mean, this series was pretty cut and dry for the most part, just strictly looking at map set and the way that the teams were playing.
It's also unfortunate. I think Dan had a relatively bad series compared to how he usually plays. The fact that Cramp pretty much went 0-10 at a point and still matched his KD essentially in the series just tells you how like bad Dan was playing for his standards.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, he's been their superstar. So with him not playing well, the map set, Kremp obviously starting off slow, like they just, you know, they fell short. It is what it is. Back to the fucking drawing board. We've already talked about like Thieves in terms of like what can potentially help them if they do decide to maybe try to make an upgrade for Kremp. I wouldn't be entirely mad. I don't know if they will. Or if they're just going to stick with it and try to qualify for champs and close it out. But Dan just needs consistent help, period. Because, I mean, yeah, he didn't play his best this series, but
Dan was fine.
He's been fine, and he's been really good for this team the whole time, and everyone else needs to step it up.
Map 2, the 1v2 round 11 just
the 1v2 round 11 was actually insane.
Wait, who was on offense in that round? We're going to pull the clip right now.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling it up because we have to pull that up. That was insane, bro.
Lucky was the one that 1v2'd them.
Yeah.
We're pulling up the clip right now, chat.
That was actually fucking crazy.
Absolute fucking tragedy, bro.
They were running together. They just didn't trade. I don't know how.
Like, they were a 5-4 and ended up going to a 1v2 round 11.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happened. So this is the round 11 here. This is the last round. First and foremost, this guy over here, Balk, Joe, he kind of goes a little rogue in the beginning.
Like Kremp gets three.
Wait. Pause. So Thieves on offense here.
Yeah. They're just doing shit together. I mean, this is just, they just call something to do it together. It's not really crazy nitpick. Like, Kremp got fucking a three-piece middle
three.
Map, and they just got together and put some shit out.
Yeah, Kremp gets just, three, and then right here, I don't know.
Lucky just here, bro.
Bro, he had an MCW here, too. I thought he was screwed.
Yeah.
And then he finds one, and then.
That's just a good-ass.
Did he dive? Did Kremp just dive?
You got to trade.
Did he dive?
Like, no, he slid.
If he just, like, jumped and kept his gun up, he kills him, but he, like, slid on him.
I hate the unlucky excuse, but the fact, I mean, fucking hilariously ironic, they just hit some shit out after getting Killsman map, and he just happened to fucking be there, bro. That's just what it was.
But that was tradable, though.
Oh, that was tradable, for sure.
The first guy was, made a good play by jumping far out.
Yeah, it was Dan. Kremp got fucking peed on a little bit, but, I mean,
Kremp did get three in the round. Which is unfortunate.
Three.
Yeah, but hold on, the round before this is also Trolley was in the round with Thieves and watch fucking the underground push. Was that the round before that?
I think it was.
Again, to the point, they just little key execution points for Thieves. They just don't make good.
The 5-4, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm going to it.
I think that's what happened in the 5-4, right?
Let's see.
I don't know, I blacked out this series, bro. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, Thieves is an offense 5-4.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. I got it up right now. But were you saying they weren't watching Underground?
Yeah, I think this is the round where they weren't watching Underground, right? Am I faded?
I don't know. Let's take a look here. Let's see what's going on.
Oh, yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
5-4 rounds is when Thieves decided to go to that A site. It was nasty. He tried to go for he was kind of watching a pinch, going for like a little lay flank here. And they all get blended here. Yeah, they get blended here. Which, bro, not watching Underground is such a troll.
Well, the thing is about the Underground, it's like the guy, if a guy
and
goes
watch
down
this,
there.
Watch this from nasty. Watch this. He slides by him.
This was a dagger, bro.
That was the dagger right there.
Bro, Lucky's winning that. That's why we got fucking 1v2'd. Lucky got an insane dope kill. And then he gets the 1v2 round 11, bro.
Yeah. One thing I will say about playing the Underground is if the glass isn't cracked, he obviously isn't going to hop up. So most people won't watch it because if he goes down there and plays only a specific angle, you can only die from a very specific angle. And somebody on their team, I think it was Joe who got first blooded, was exposed to that very specific angle where Lucky can get a kill without hopping up. So just something for people at home. Don't stick too close to the stairs. Otherwise, you can get shot from a guy underground.
Yeah.
If you play the wide angle on the stairs when you're coming up onto that site, you can't be shot by that guy unless he overextends. And in that case, you'll hear the glass, and then you'll just turn and kill
him. I've been
saying
for weeks, Chris, when we go to land, that this shit was going to happen with the underground push. Like, people were just going to be complacent because they want to square up a people's statue, and they're just not going to look left. And to your point, you get on the stairs, you get the angle, you get the kill, and all of a sudden, Thieves are panicking.
Mm-hmm. You really been saying that?
Yes. On a bunch of watch parties about like this underground push that I think was going to be really good at the end of the season once people got the timing.
He's been saying it, Pat. Yeah, any other final thoughts on the Miami OAT series?
Miami looked good, bro.
Yeah, Miami get
top six. Search has been very, very good this weekend.
Yeah, it's been very good.
Yeah.
Do you think they play another six-star, though?
I mean, if they don't, they play High Rise.
They play High Rise, and that's their bread and butter.
Like, they're like 7-2-1 High Rise or some shit. So that's where they get an interesting map pool.
Yeah.
Team's got to pick.
We got another 5 matches tomorrow. It was a long day of matches today.
It's a Saturday, though.
It's a Saturday, which means things are getting interesting, folks. We start things off. We got Seattle Surge going up against Carolina. That is going to be a loser's round, so whoever loses that.
It's
going to
be a good series.
Yeah, it's going to be a very good series. Then we got Atlanta FaZe going up against the New York Subliners. And then we got Toronto Ultra going up against Optic Texas. Obviously, for the – yep, and then two losers round 3. Not really too sure who's going to be there. So we'll do predictions for the first 3 matches. I'll start things off. Seattle Surge versus Carolina. This one's kind of tough, bro.
This is a tough series.
This is tough, right? I'm going to go Carolina on this one. I'm going to go Carolina here. I just think they're going to edge him out. But this can go either way, man. I think when it comes to the fundamentals, Carolina has a little bit of an edge. And that's probably why I'll go with them. I'll go 3-2 Carolina. Pat, who do you got?
I'm not high on this Seattle team. I'm going to go 3-1 Ravens.
All right. Ben?
I'm trying to look if Carolina and Seattle played a bunch this year. But I think for me, I agree with you. I think if Carolina actually play fundamental good COD tomorrow, I think they'd probably beat Seattle. But it could go game 5.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
I had Ravens making another top 6 at the very least appearance. And I have them placing top 6 at least. So they're going to beat Surge.
All right,
so,
Sam.
We all got Carolina, dude. I got my Carolina Bucks.
You got Carolina too?
I'm bought in.
All right, then we got Atlanta FaZe versus the New York Subliners.
Hey.
I'm going to go with Atlanta FaZe. I mean, I think New York's a good team. I just think based on the online stage and how Atlanta FaZe has been playing, they just look like the number one team in the game right now, bro. Looks like nobody can stop them. They're shooting bodies. They're feeling confident. I'm going to go 3-1 Atlanta FaZe. I'm curious to see how New York plays them tomorrow. But who do you got, Pat?
I'm going to go 3-0 FaZe, but I wouldn't be surprised if this like sneaky went game five. I think New York has a
New York has the talent to compete.
Last time they went to Atlanta in game five, so.
at the same time, yeah. I think they could push this.
It's COD, man. Anything could happen on a given weekend.
New York's got to win map one in this series because FaZe probably gonna pick Team B. So New York, I assume with FaZe banning sub base, and I assume New York's gonna ban Rio, squaring up with FaZe, that would be insane. I assume we're getting like a Visa 6-star angle map one. If New York win that, they got a chance. But if not, FaZe are just gonna take all the momentum and probably 3-0 this.
All right, Chris, who do you got?
I got FaZe, but I wouldn't be surprised if Subliners push this just because they looked really good. I mean, I was gonna say that regardless. So I think New York played really good on the first day, Thursday of the tournament, and I feel like they've probably gone like hard at work to like improve because they were on the struggle bus. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see New York actually put up a fight against FaZe.
I'm in the opposite boat. I think FaZe is going to beat them pretty handily. The only reasoning for that is New York has to double veto Rio, and they also have an issue with the newer maps in 6-star and Vista as well. So I think FaZe has an immediate hardpoint edge here. The S&Ds could get interesting, but I just have faith in FaZe to close it out. So I'm thinking like probably 3-1, 3-0 here, FaZe.
Cool, and then we got one more match to give our predictions to. Before we do that, I want to give a huge shout-out to Xfinity. Connect to a game-changing network that's getting faster and more reliable all the time. To learn more about the Xfinity 10G network, make sure to go to xfinity.com/gaming. Huge shout-out to Xfinity, as always, man. They've been an amazing partner, so I want to show them some love. But we got Toronto Ultra going up against Optic Texas. I'm going to go Optic Texas here, man.
This is a hard one
because Toronto, it's their home event, the home crowd. I think Dylan Envoy's really stepped up, right? We know he struggled a little bit online, but he has looked really, really good yesterday. So I could see Dylan continue with the show. Like, if Dylan keeps playing how he's playing and Insight keeps playing how he's playing, like, Toronto could be a really tough team to beat. But because of how Optic's been playing in the stage and they haven't lost to anybody other than FaZe in months. I mean, I have to go with Optic just from a statistical standpoint. I think Optic's going to take this one. I'm going to go 3-2 Optic Texas. I can see a grueler here. I can see a nail biter for sure. Pat, what do you got?
I think this is going to be a statement series. I think this is going to be a Toronto 3-0. You know, I agree. Envoy stepped it up massively. I heard he got some SteelSeries gear. I think he used the code TheFlank.
TheFlank, 12% off, SteelSeries.com.
And so he's obviously had a massive improvement after that. But I just think it's going to be a big series out of Scrappy and Kleenex. I just think they're gonna get it done. So, 3-0.
Who do you got, Ben?
I think the problem for Toronto in this series is, like, are they going to play Rio S&D? Are they going to play high-rise search? I got Optic Texas 3-1.
Okay. Chris, who do you got, Chris?
I got Texas just because I'm going to stay true to like what I predicted, at least when talking about the matches online here. I'm within the top four. But honestly, I'm really happy with Toronto Ultra and how they showed up on that first day. Just a big boost of confidence going forward. And I just really hope that we get a fucking insane series where both teams are just going rogue.
Yeah, me too. Tomorrow's going to be so fucking lit. This is going to be dope.
Yeah.
This is going to be crazy.
And for the record, I have Toronto winning then the losers round three matchup in Carolina. So there will be New York, Optic, Toronto, and Carolina top four.
Yeah, I have the – I think – wait, you have Carolina?
Yeah, being New York.
Oh, well,
Carolina beating New York.
He said that Carolina would get top four, so he's just kind of going.
I have
like
the top
that.
Four beating anyone they play.
I'm matching it.
Who do you got, Sam?
Fuck, man.
Wait, Chris, you went right.
Yeah.
Sam, who do you want?
Like, I wanted. I'm gonna go Optic, but they just did not convince me yesterday to be like super enthusiastic about that pick.
Your truth, Sam.
I'm speaking my truth. I still think Optic is going to win the series, only because of Surge. I only think they win this series because of S&D.
But like, game five?
I
can see a game five here.
Like, Optic did not convince me to like be super thrilled about this pick. I'm going to take it only because of S&D.
I will say, luckily, Scrap had an insane like 6-star S&D.
Yeah,
so, mainly they have some confidence to play that. because their map pool in search lately has been so fucking ass that maybe they see like how they played that. Granted, Scrap had an insane performance, and they get some confidence under their belt to maybe start throwing that in their map pool. So.
I just don't think Optic has a weak mode. And Toronto does in S&D. So if Scrap's not going to drop 14, I want to see what their search looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day of matches tomorrow. Obviously, we had 5 matches today, another 5 matches tomorrow. Call of Duty is popping right now. We're excited to continue with the tournament. We'll obviously be live with the watch party, and we'll be live here again on Twitch after the games to give another recap of kind of everything that's going on going into Championship Sunday. So it's been a great time over here in Toronto. Hope you guys have all been enjoying the watch parties and the shows. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, go to anchor.fm/TheFlank to check out all the audio sites around. Go follow @TheFlank on Twitter. Gersh doing a phenomenal job writing socials per usual. And go to Zuma.gg, sign up, get ready. We got another merch drop coming soon, so make sure to go check it out. Benji Nassim, it's a land putt, ladies and gentlemen. It all comes down to this. Benji Nassim, we got the queen in the background. Land. Shout out to Queen Mitch in the background.
Putt.
It's a pleasure. Benji Nassim stepping up to the plate. Can he sink the putt here on land? We know there has been some nerves in the past.
I know he's nervous.
When it comes to Benji Nassim on land.
I know he's nervous.
Let's see what this guy can do, ladies and gentlemen, as he steps up. He's going to line it up.
Back that motherfucker up, man.
He's going to line it up, folks.
Is that the same distance at home? I want the same distance you are at home.
That's looking good. That's looking good.
Is that the same distance? No, that's fine.
That's looking good.
If you're
good.
Confident, it's fine.
That's looking good, man. That's looking good.
That's good. It's cool,
man. That's phenomenal. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Nassim here in Toronto going for a putt. Does he sink the putt? He goes for it, and he sinks the putt. It is Benji. Oh, man.
Ben Nassim is him.
Unbelievable.
Benji Nassim is him.
Ben is beating the online out.
He's beating the allegations.
The online allegations. It doesn't matter how many drinks he has in him or how many rips of a papaya. He still sinks the putt.
Ben's beating the allegations.
Man, he walks off like an animal,
the
guys.
Drinks might have helped.
The drinks might have loosened him up a little bit, man. Anything you got to say, Benji?
I played 2 rounds this week, and I putted lights out in those rounds, so this has been coming for a while.
Right, we're still beating day one. There's still 2 more days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not over yet. Whatever. Last time he choked on Championship Sunday. Isn't that where you choked?
Yeah.
Yeah, hate to choke on Sunday.
Hate to choke on a Sunday. Hate to choke on a Sunday. But, guys, that's going to do it for us. Love you guys so much. Thank you guys for all the energy, all the love, all the support. We'll see you guys tomorrow in another episode of The Flank, man. Take care. Bless your hair. Take it easy. We'll see you guys later.
Fuck Air Canada.
Yeah.
Fuck Air Canada.